So can I say, take heart. And be assured, as we look at Jesus this morning, in this passage, recognise the power that Jesus has. Recognise the authority that Jesus has. And rejoice, even with a heavy heart. Rejoice that God is faithful to his word. So take heart. God is faithful. Yes, my surname's Arthur. Yes, you do know several Arthurs here. So you know more about me than maybe I care you to know. Can I ask you a question? What amazes you about Jesus? So that you know there's an end to this sermon, I've put an outline on there. And so if you'd like to take notes, you could actually do a mind story, if you like, or you could take notes there. But you know there's an end, and we will get there. You've been introduced in Mark to an amazing Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible has to be responded to. And whether you have little information about Jesus or whether you have a lot of information about Jesus, you in fact will respond to the Jesus of the Bible. We see Jesus of the Bible displaying many different things. We see Jesus coming as the promised Messiah from the Old Testament. And he comes to Israel, God's chosen people. Chosen, born, built up, deposited in the promised land. These are God's people he comes to. However, the Jesus of the New Testament, the Messiah, is actually coming to us or to our world as a personal Jesus. Not as the King of the Israel nation. And so we see Jesus of the Bible healing the sick person. We see Jesus of the Bible raising that dead person. We see Jesus of the Bible inviting individuals to come and follow him. We see Jesus of the Bible coming to call, to heal, to restore individuals. He comes to build his kingdom by inviting individuals to come and follow him. Well, Jesus actually grew in popularity. Jesus' popularity grew in two ways. I don't know if you noticed it, but in the passage that we read in Mark chapter 1, 29 to 2, chapter 12, verse 12, there are four times the mentioned. Many people came to him. And so we read there in verse 33, the whole town gathered at the door. That's chapter 1, verse 33. We also then read in chapter 1, verse 37. Everyone was looking for you, the disciples said. And then further in the same chapter, the last verse, we read there, yet the people still come from everywhere to him. And then in chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2, he entered Capernaum. The people heard about he had come home. They gathered in such a large number of people in one room. Jesus' popularity grew. It grew in two ways. The first way, his popularity grew because he was healing people. And he healed without any charges. Bulk billing was the nature of his healing. Jesus healed people and he taught. So for these positive reasons, people gathered to hear him and to be healed. Some gathered even to be raised from the dead. Well, he went to them, didn't he? But notice, because of this positive influence, Jesus' popularity grew and grew and grew. The second reason Jesus' popularity grew was because he challenged people's authority to rule their lives and the sect of the Jewish religion. He challenged their authority. And so what do we do seeing the church leaders doing? We're actually seeing them looking for Jesus to actually put him to death. He became very popular. The enemies made him popular because they actually wanted to kill him. If we think forward to Jesus' trial, to Jesus' arrest, we see many people gathering around, incited by the church leaders at the time. And they cried out, "Crucify him." He was very popular. And so, whether fans or foe, Jesus drew a crowd. And it's this single room where so many people gathered, there was no room for anybody else. Jesus' friends and foe gathered in. They met to hear what Jesus has to say. Just think of the scene. All of these people, mixed individuals, two different agendas, really. And then all of a sudden, you're engrossed in Jesus' sermon of the day, and all of a sudden, there's this dust coming down. It was easy to make a hole in the roof because the roof was flat. And so everybody, they went up the outside stairway, and here they were, these people with this other person, and they were digging a hole in the roof. And you're part of the crowd, though. These bits of plaster start falling down. And all of a sudden you see the light shining through. And it's taken up then by this mat that's being let down. And on this mat there's this dirty beggar who is in being let down because he's paralysed. And this crowd all of a sudden had to move aside and get tighter together. And here's this person laying on the mat in front of Jesus. It appears that everybody else in the room actually knew what was going on except one person. Apparently Jesus didn't understand. Because all he said to this guy who was let down, it was obvious he was paralysed. He couldn't get in there himself. And Jesus said an astounding thing. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Didn't Jesus know why he was let down? Well, it was very obvious that Jesus confused the crowd. Can you imagine the people who let him down? No, we let him down so he can be healed. But you notice also the foe in the room. The people who object to Jesus saying, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Well, they didn't shout and rant. In fact, they didn't even open their mouths. However, did you notice? Read verse 6 in chapter 2. "Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves." Do you notice? These guys were thinking to themselves before the words were on their lips. Jesus knew what they were thinking. We read, Jill sent us to Psalm 139, and we read the last verses of Psalm 139 a bit earlier. If we read the first verses, we would have actually heard David say, "Before a word was on my lips, God, you knew exactly what I was going to say." Well, Jesus, before these guys opened their mouths, calling their objection, he knew what they were thinking. And they were thinking, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" he says. Don't you just hate it when someone knows exactly what you're thinking? They can read you like a book. and the book's not even open. Well, can you imagine these church leaders being exposed as thinking this? In some ways, they were actually right. They were quite right. No one but God can forgive sins. They were right there. But they didn't realise that God is in their very presence. He was there in their midst. And the God of the Bible presents us with Jesus, God's own Son, who knows even our thoughts. I think sometimes I wish God didn't know my thoughts. Because they're not always good, are they? Oh, I hope God didn't see me do that. Hear me say, hear me think. But the God of the Bible is actually a forgiving God, a welcoming God. And so the Jesus whom they're standing with, who knew their thoughts, actually addressed the opponents, the foe of Jesus. So that you know I have authority on earth to forgive sins, he said, and turned to these people, or to the man, he said, get up and walk. And what did he do? Got up and walked out in full view of everybody. He must have got some good muscle, I reckon. Had to shoulder charge them to get through them to get out the door. Can you imagine the thought in that room? What was it about this man who was able to forgive sins, to show that he forgives sins by raising this paralyzed man who's never used his muscles in his legs? Yet here they are. Oh, Des is back at home, by the way. He had an operation a couple of weeks ago. But his muscles are very sore and he has to heal. But not so with the paralyzed man on that day. Everything about him was restored. He was able to get up and walk out. But more than that, his sins are forgiven. Quite an amazing thing about the Lord Jesus, isn't it? He has the power to raise a person to good health, raise a person to life. But he has the authority to forgive sins, something which only God has the authority to do. Well, this amazed the people. They were overwhelmed and they were amazed. Jesus also amazed the people as well. He actually healed a leprous person. Did you notice that in chapter 1, verse 40 and following? There's a little note in this passage that this leprous person came to Jesus. Now, this leprous person was not able to go to the synagogue where Jesus might have actually been teaching. He wasn't allowed in there because of his uncleanness. His external condition. He was leprous. He wasn't allowed in there. In fact, if you associated with this man, well, then you wouldn't be allowed in the synagogue either. Not until you've actually performed the purification, the cleansing rite. And then spending some time and then waiting until the nightfall, and then you can go into the synagogue. But notice the little thing here. This man came to Jesus, and the Lord Jesus says, I am willing to heal you. And what does he do? Verse 41, he touches the leprous man. If you or I touched that leprous man, we would not be allowed in church today, back then, because we'd be unclean. But notice the power and authority of Jesus. He touched the leprous man and his leprosy disappeared. But the uncleanness of that leprous man was completely absorbed by the righteous Son of God, and it did not hurt him. It did not make him unclean. Pretty amazing, that. Pretty amazing. Well, Jesus grew in popularity. Jesus had the power, and he was willing to use his authority to both heal the outside but cleanse the inside. We can see that the promised Messiah doesn't fulfill all the expectations of the religious group of the time. You see, the religious group of the time knew that the Messiah was going to come, and they had in their minds that we will rise up and we will become the world leader. The king who comes will conquer Rome, as it were, ousting them from Israel completely, restoring the promised land and the promised people. This kingdom will indeed be restored. But Jesus didn't come in that way. He came to cleanse the individual. He did not come to bring that reformation that even the religious order needed, because he came and challenged the religious order. And the religious order were really quite amazed about this Jesus, because he had this power to heal, he had the authority to forgive sins, and yet what do we do with our power? No, before we used to give people access to God. We had a sacrificial system to do that. And so these people were really quite threatened. One, their expectations of the Messiah didn't come. And two, he's actually come and undermining our authority, our position. He's saying he's giving access to God. I thought that was my job. My goodness, I've been ordained. I've studied at South Australia Bible College. I've got authority to do that, don't I? Well, if anybody stands in this pulpit claiming that authority, well, you can leave, please. Because there's only one person who has that authority, and that's the Jesus of the Bible. He is the one who brings that. Have you been amazed by Jesus? Friend and foe in the time of the Lord Jesus were amazed by Jesus. Some wanted him to stay and with them at home. Others wanted to put him to death because they were so amazed by Jesus that they had to do something about it. You see, you cannot examine the Jesus of the Bible and not be challenged nor changed. The demands of Jesus demand a response. A couple of weeks ago, sitting in church, it was the evening congregation. My wife was on one side, a retired gentleman was on the other, and a young woman who was leading the service was next to him. This young woman's name is Jenny, and Jenny's in her mid-40s. Jenny leant over and said, "Ray, now you're getting old. What amazes you about Jesus?" Great question, that, isn't it? And I had to think for a while. And I had to think, because nothing in particular has happened in the last week or two. And I had to conclude, what amazes me about Jesus, especially that I've lived now to this stage when I don't be called getting old, is that Jesus is patient. Jesus is loving. Jesus remains forgiving. Jesus' acceptance of you and me is not based on you growing better. It's completely based on Jesus, who died in your place on the cross, having the authority to tell you, your sins are forgiven. What amazes you about Jesus? The other thing that amazes me about Jesus is that I was able to sit a couple of weeks ago, one up from Jenny, and she was able to, she was leading the service, I might add, by the way, and she asked me this question. What amazes me about Jesus is he's still growing his kingdom. You see, on the other side of Jenny was a husband, and I can't remember much, or many, all the people that I married from a previous church. You'll be happy to know I've married one more woman than I have men, and I'm still married to that woman. What amazes me is that I could sit with Jenny and her husband and her two daughters, and here we were talking about being amazed about Jesus. That amazes me about Jesus. That we can share Jesus with one another, encourage one another in Jesus. Jesus is one who comes to us in the scriptures to be amazed about. What amazes you about Jesus? If you haven't been amazed about Jesus, if you don't know Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord, ask someone else who has, what amazes you about Jesus? And can I encourage you, as we have a cuppa after church, as you have a cuppa with someone during the week, as you meet and study the Bible or read and pray together, ask one another, what amazes you about Jesus? Because you cannot help but be amazed about the Jesus of the Bible, who invites you into his kingdom, into his eternal kingdom, that you may indeed today enter into the abundant life he has come to give. Can I pray for you? Let me pray. Loving Father, we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you know words that we're even only just thinking about. Lord, we pray that we will not shame you by having wrong thoughts. Help us, Lord God, to continually to be in your word and in prayer, trusting in you, growing in our faith in Jesus, that we might live lives that please you every moment of every day. Father, thank you for your work in our world. We again thank you for Peter's life. We thank you, Lord God, for his faithfulness to you in serving your people here. And we pray, Lord God, that we will constantly remember to remind Jesse and the family about your faithfulness in bringing people to yourself. And we ask, Lord God, that you will shine out of this congregation into a world which doesn't know Jesus, that more and more people will come to know you. Help us to be constantly amazed of your grace and your mercy in Jesus, our Saviour and King. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.